Okay. You don't mind the millennium, but you like going through the tribulation. All right. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer? Test yourself to see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit just is, he's not given the billing he ought to be given in the church today. I've really enjoyed doing Acts, because the whole book of Acts is about the Holy Spirit. The Gospel is about Jesus Christ. Acts is about the Holy Spirit. That's a knoweth importance in our lives. Everything we do, including worship, studying the Word of God. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this humble assembly. We're thankful for the many opportunities that you give to us. And pray, Father, that we always, in the power of your Spirit, are led to engage in all of these opportunities to the honor and glory of Christ. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to sing a hymn this morning that you need to be conscious of all the time. And that is, I know we got to be conscious of the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ, but remember, Christ came to bring us to the Father. That's why he came. He didn't come to bring us to himself. He came to bring us to the Father. So let's stand and sing hymn number one, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's stand and sing. People that were at camp, I tell you and I mean it, now's the time they need your prayer. They can walk away from camp and let it go, or the Holy Spirit can convict and pressure and bring to memory a lot that they learned. So please be in prayer for every one of the young people memory camp this year. Please be in prayer for Katharina and her sister. They're on their way to Greece this morning, this afternoon, actually, around noon. And so please be in prayer there for a safe trip with them. And any other prayer requests that we have? Yes?
Colorado, and Ben's flying back tonight around midnight. So
who's that?
Ben and Chris.
Oh.
Chris is in Colorado for work, and Ben is doing a visit at the Air Force Academy.
Okay.
College. But just safe travels tonight for Ben coming back, and then Chris will be back on Wednesday.
All right.
Be in prayer. To be flying in tonight? Okay. In prayer for safe flight. Nice travel. Any other prayer requests? Okay, people, we have, like I say, many things that the Holy Spirit's given this humble assembly. And humble means small. not unimportant, just small. And given us a lot of opportunities with young people, missionaries. And I want to remind you, and I'm going to do this every Sunday, that October the 10th, Wednesday evening, the Risleys will be here. So please, please make plans. I hope we have more than the normal Wednesday night crowd. So please plan on being here. It should be just a lot of fun. Most spiritual, enjoy listening to Bill and Pat and Courtney. Courtney's coming with them. And just hear the stories and things that God is doing in their lives. It's always motivating to hear how God is using them. That's October the 10th, Wednesday evening. So please plan on being here for that occasion. With these things in mind, let's prepare ourselves for the giving of money. We've studied giving this morning in our 9:15 class. Though I give all my possessions, but do not have love, it profiteth me nothing. First of all, there is a profit in things we do in the power of the Spirit. You want that. And there's a profit in giving if it's in the power of the Spirit. You can give everything out of the Spirit, no profit whatsoever. Christianity, what we learned was Christianity is not a religion. Religion always emphasizes the need, the one given to. The Bible is the only one. Christianity emphasizes the condition of the giver, not the one who's in need, but the giver, the condition is a given in spiritual love. God is the giver for salvation. We are the giver in money. So you want it to be done in the power of the Spirit where it gives glory to God. So let's begin with a word of prayer before we take our money. Giving, Heavenly Father, is a very important part of life. We give and receive in our families and life. And as we grow, Heavenly Father, we want our giving to count to the glory of Christ and to our benefit, our profit at the judgment seat of Christ. So, Father, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give, that you use these offerings to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, even Jesus Christ, our Savior. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, does anyone not have macrothumia, love is long-suffering? Everyone have the copy? All right. I really enjoyed doing this one. I just like the Greek word macrothumia, and I decided to make it part of the title. And there are just words. Christ is a Greek word. Christos, Christ. And so macrothumia, once you're familiar with this Greek word, meaning long suffering. So, this begins a real understanding of what should characterize us and what should characterize our love. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Again, the purpose of this prayer, I'm not the teacher, the Holy Spirit is the teacher. And John Hinch likes to kid me that I don't trust the Holy Spirit just to stand up and start speaking. Well, I trusted him to make this up, put this together. I prayed hour after hour, guide me. So that's why I need this. This is his work. He's the teacher of it. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful for the Word of God. It reveals who and what you are to us, reveals who and what your Son is to us, and what we are to be to the world. Father, I pray your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and understand. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, makothumia. Love is long-suffering. Wait a minute. I'm not God falling in love to suffer. People, you have to understand, all love suffers. Now, I sent that to Kit. I got a call immediately. Do you mean for this first part to be written, printed into the message? I said, yeah, that's my fun part. And so that's why it's there. Okay, we spent Colossians 3:12 for some time now. We've been there for some time. But to me, it is one of the richest verses. First, it studied who we are in Christ. Chosen of God, holy, beloved, and really how wonderful is our God to make us these rich qualities in Christ. Now we're looking seriously at what we're to be like as Christians. What should characterize us? What will we be like if we live by faith in the Holy Spirit, grow in the Word of God, a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and now patience or long-suffering? I cannot overemphasize the fear of next Sunday morning. If you want to miss, that's when you want to miss. Because it's going to step all over you. It stepped all over me in doing it. And yet, commentaries, preachers, people, I found no one who even spent time on it. But that's next Sunday. This Sunday, makothumia. The Greek word, its meaning is dynamic in Christian life. The Greek noun, makothumia, the Greek verb, makothumeo, and the adverb, makothumos, are primarily Christian words. They do not occur in classical Greek, and rarely even in later Greek. And as we're going to see in a little while, we will discover that they describe as a Christian virtue that which to the Greek way of thinking is no virtue at all. To be long-suffering was not a virtue to the Greek philosophical way of thinking. This Greek noun is formed by two words, makros, meaning long, thumos, meaning heart of mind, meaning therefore long mindset, long suffering, or simply patience. Now, defining it. What I made a list was of various lexicons, various words used to describe this rich word. Let's see if we can put some things together. One, to be long-suffering. Two, forbearance. Three, self-restrain proceeding to action. Four, the quality of a person who is able to avenge himself yet refrains from doing so. Which is building an understanding of this word. Five, this word refers to being spiritually calm, especially when people say or act in ways that you wish they would not act or say. Six, the point here is that instead of losing one's faith or stop living by faith in the Holy Spirit, giving in to the control of the flesh. This believer is able, the one who has makothumia, to maintain his or her fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I hope you're beginning to see something here. What I want you to begin to see is macrothumia protects you. It protects you. Okay, 7. It means enduring patiently in face of wrong done to us by others and not retaliating, refraining from acting in danger. Ralph Martin's commentary on Colossians. 8. Instead of anger or revenge or lashing out with the tongue, the believer is long-suffering. 9. Bearing with those who oppose and remaining in the power of the Holy Spirit who gives us this long-suffering. The Holy Spirit's the one who gives this. 10. The ability to suffer without complaining. 11. I like the way John Gallo words it in his commentary on Colossians. It is exercising patience toward fellow believers who annoy us, rub us the wrong way. Do you have anyone in your life who rubs you the wrong way? Have any? Your husband, your wife? Well, my goodness. Imagine that. And that does happen, people. I'm going to point out, most commentaries talk about it in the assembly. That's not necessarily the only context. It's in your marriage, in your home, in your family, the local church, work, wherever you go. 12, to be able to put up with other believers a long time without being irritated with them. 13, very important, the word macrothumia is patience in respect to persons, while the Greek word hupomone is endurance or putting up with things or circumstances. The garage door won't go up and down. The blender won't work. Things don't work. The car won't start. Those are circumstances of life that require hupomone. Macrothumia is reserved for people. I love God here. He knows we're going to have to put up with each other. Going to have to. See? Unless you want to be a hermit, and even that's no good. But some people try that. And finally, 14, this is the first impact of spiritual love in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Spiritual love is macrothumia, or long-suffering. Now, where am I going to start with this? As we noted with our other desired attributes, heart of compassion, kindness, gentleness, this is first an attribute of God Himself. Now, I want you to think about it before we go any further. God is these things. That means God the Holy Spirit is God. God is these things. So when He is in control of you, it stands to reason these are the things He will pour into us. If God is macrothumia, then it's obvious this will be a gift of His Holy Spirit. That God is macrothumia is found in the Old Testament passages. Look at Nehemiah 9:16. But they, our fathers, Exodus generation, acted arrogantly. They became stubborn and would not listen to your commandments, relayed by Moses. The parentheses are my addition, not Nehemiah. Nehemiah 9:17. They refused to listen. That's a beckoning to all of us in life. Every student in school, every child needs to learn, you must listen. 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 The ones who refuse to listen, complain at test time. Complain at report time. You've got to learn to listen. So here it is. They refuse to listen. This is not repetitious from verse 16, but refers to a second time they refused to listen and rebelled against God in context. And, continue verse 17, and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. Okay, 1. Divine guidance on the way of their journey. This is one of His wonderful of provisions, wonderful deeds, provided divine guidance on their journey. The pillar by night and the cloud by day. Nehemiah 9:12, and with the pillar of cloud you led them by day, and with the pillar of fire you led them by night. For them, the way in which they were to go. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if each one of us had our own little fire, our own little thing in front of us, and we knew right where to go. Nobody else could see yours. Well, there'd be people bumping into each other, looking, bumping into walls, couldn't find it. But that's what they had. They didn't have to decide. They didn't have to decide where to go. See? That old joke, you know why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Because men don't ask directions. But that's maybe funny. They had this cloud directing them. They were never away from God. All right, point two. Good laws, and he gave them good laws and statutes to guide them in all aspects of their lives. Nehemiah 9:14. Then you came down on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. You gave them just ordinances, true laws, good statutes and commandments for their lives with each other and with society. So you made known to them your holy Sabbath and laid down for them commandments, statutes, and law through your servant Moses. Three, he's not through yet. Provisions for their journey. Manna each day, not on the Sabbath. You know, we just don't trust him. I don't know if you know the story of the manna or heard it lately, but it's so funny. First of all, on the Sabbath, the day before, you will not gather. So you gather the day before the Sabbath for the Sabbath's mouth. Well, I'm going to do that every night. I'm going to take some and put it under my pillow so I'll have some nightcap eating. I'll make sure if God didn't come around tomorrow, I'll have it. It was gone. It was polluted. See? God, he's going to take care of you according to his plan. Now let's look. We're on point three. Nehemiah 9:15a. You provided bread from heaven for them for their hunger. You brought forth water from a rock for them their thirst. Bread of heaven, Jesus Christ. Rock, water from the rock, the Holy Spirit. The picture that he's drawing there. But in actuality, this is manna from heaven. When I was a bachelor, I used to think manna, and I'm kind of serious in a humorous way, was popcorn. My refrigerator was filled with popcorn. Not any other, it's just popcorn. I thought that was breakfast, lunch, supper, snacks, everything. Okay. Now, verse 4, point 4. Well, my point there is, I never got tired of it. They complain about manna. I'm tired of manna. I never would have complained about popcorn. It was great. Okay. Point 4. Renewal of the promise of the land where they were going to enter and give them. He constantly reminded them of the blessing he was going to give them. And you told them to enter in order to possess the land which you swore to give them. Okay. Next note, what happened to them and to us when we will not listen to the Word of God and forget all that God has done for us, beginning with eternal life and salvation. So, because they refused to listen to the Word of God and because they forgot all that He had done for them, they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return them to the slavery of Egypt. Can you imagine? Well, I can. That's what America's doing today. Let's go back to slavery. Let's forget the Constitution. Let's forget the amendments. We don't believe in those anymore. People running for office. People who hold office. Our past president did not like the Constitution, and he said so in his book. He told us he didn't like it. And we Americans elected him. So this is what they did. So it's not that far out of reality. But introduce the aspect of, because they were stubborn and appointed a leader, returning to Egypt, but introduce the aspect of long-suffering of God, of course, he would have been just in taking this generation out. But instead, God is long-suffering. We now have five unbelievable manifestations of God's love and faithfulness. One, you are a God of forgiveness. This will come up for us in Colossians 3:13. Two, gracious. Three, compassionate. Slow to anger. It's our word, long-suffering. Four, abounding in loving kindness. And five, you did not forsake them. God in His long-suffering continued to provide divine guidance by the cloud and fire. He continued to provide provision of food and manna and water. He even sent the Holy Spirit. This is amazing. He even sent the Holy Spirit to instruct them. In verse 20, and I wanted to put it in because I think it's so powerful. And you gave them your good spirit to instruct them. Your manna, you did not withhold from their mouth. And you gave them water for their thirst. And people, we have the Holy Spirit. When you're out of fellowship, He's still there. David had to pray, God, please don't take your spirit from me. We don't ever have to pray that. He's right there. You could be in sin, in a pattern of sin, trend of sin. That quickly you come out of it. That quickly you change. Just go back to the Holy Spirit. He is so vital. And I love the passage in Nehemiah 9:20. I'd forgotten it. You'll be seeing it again. All right, 9:30. However, you bore with them for many years and admonished them by your Spirit through your prophets. Yet, again, they would not give ear. Therefore, you gave them into the hand of peoples of the lands. But in our study of long-suffering, we learn several things from the long-suffering of God. One, the presence of long-suffering from God does not mean the end of wrath. I want to be sure you understand that. Exodus 34:6. Then the Lord passed by in front of him, Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord, the God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, long-suffering, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, yet He will by no means leave the guilty unpunished. Visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. We learn from this passage the richness of the long-suffering of God, but people, we also learn there is no renouncing of wrath in the discussion of long-suffering. Many things in the history of Israel in the Old Testament, they tried, God, to the end of long-suffering, as in the Babylonian captivity, starting in 606 B.C. They didn't wake up, and it went on, and finally came to the wrath in 586 B.C. with the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. He warned them in 606. They didn't pay attention. No attention at all. He warned them again and again, and finally, in 586, Nebuchadnezzar had had enough, came in, and wiped out Jerusalem. God's wrath continues until there is something inside of man to bring about the end of wrath, as in the devotion of Daniel and his three friends. But if this wrath is not met with repentance, then the wrath of God reaches its fulfillment in 70 A.D. Two, a thorough study of Old Testament clearly reveals that the primary treatment of Israel was based on the long-suffering of God. I'll tell you what, if you haven't just sat down and read Genesis, Exodus, do it. And just shake your head. Wow. Look how bad these people were. Man, if I were God, I'd have let them have it. God, why didn't you let them have it? Because I love them. Because I love them. That's what we would ask God. Why did you put up with them? Let them have it. Start all over. Call in other people. I love them. And therefore he was long-suffering. The wrath and the grace of God are the two poles which constitute the span of long-suffering. Now let me repeat that. The wrath and grace of God are the two poles which constitute the span of long-suffering. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament. Okay, three. It must be understood that the long-suffering of God is subject only to His own sovereignty. And secondly, His long-suffering is always directly related to final salvation of man. That is, God holds off wrath that more might be saved. Romans 2:4, do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience? This is our word, makrothumia, meaning long-suffering with all mankind. Not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance. When you wish for something to thank God for, thank Him for His long-suffering so that you could have eternal life today. Think about this. God withheld His wrath from Adam and Eve's original sin to the coming of His Son, His servant, His Messiah, and the universal offer of eternal life salvation. God could have upheld His own perfect righteousness with final wrath and bona fide wrath against all mankind at any time. He could have done it the day Adam and Eve sinned. The day they sinned, He could have said, that's it, I'm through with you. I'm going to start over, boom. He didn't do it. Offered them salvation. But He is always long-suffering to the coming of redemption. Please remember this when we come to long-suffering from the believer in the church age. Long-suffering is always for the manifestation of the grace of God. One of the most troubling passages by Paul on this very subject, Romans 9:22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and take out everyone, and to make His power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? What if, suppositional, for the sake of argument, God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much patience, long-suffering, vessels of wrath, all those who rejected His grace offer of the gospel? He didn't just take them out immediately. Prepared for destruction. Eternity separated from God in the liquid lake of fire. The long-suffering of God for salvation of mankind is pictured in the study of Noah. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also died for sins once and for all. The just Jesus Christ for the unjust, all members of the human race, so that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which He also went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison. You know, the other day, please let me interrupt, I was flipping through and came across this preacher, and he was filled with energy, and I thought, okay, let me listen to this energy. I could not believe, and people, you can't believe, thousands of people there. And all that he did, he would take up various events in the Bible, and I mean without failure, made erroneous statements about it. This was one of them, about Jesus Christ going down to the pit. I mean, what he did with that, I had to turn it off. I was going to lose my fellowship. And I was not going to let him do that to me. But it was just amazing how they know some stories, but don't know what happened and why. Verse 20, who once were disobedient, sexual relationship with women on earth, the angels, when the patience, long-suffering of God, kept waiting in the days of Noah. God held off judgment in His wrath, so that people might repent and come to Him. But only one family did. During the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water, only eight people accepted His grace call. If you have to ask yourself, things happen in your life, is God knocking? Do I need to get some areas straightened out? Don't overplay it. Don't hunt for something. Don't go out and sin so that there'll be something you can repent of. But just always be aware God's acting. Is He acting for you? Is He acting in you for someone else? This is one reason a lot of times Christians suffer. It has nothing to do with them. It has to do with their husband, their wife, their children, their parents, their people around them in church. It's about them. It's not about the people who are suffering. Okay. 4. We have well demonstrated that long-suffering is characteristic of God, but it is also characteristic of Jesus Christ Himself. 1 Timothy 1:15. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of. Yet for this reason I found mercy. For what reason? So that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might demonstrate His perfect long-suffering as an example for those who would believe in Him for eternal life. Jesus Christ is long-suffering. Okay? 5. Alright. So, this macrothumia, long-suffering, is an attribute of God. It's of the humanity of Jesus Christ. But God also has made it possible for this to be a virtue, to be manifested to believers in Jesus Christ throughout the church age. But macrothumia, or being long-suffering, is a gracious gift of God, not a manifestation of the virtue of self-control of the flesh. Don't just read past that. Long-suffering that God is looking for is a gracious gift of God the Holy Spirit. It is not a manifestation of the virtue of self-control of the flesh. In other words, I'm going to be long-suffering. Even if it kills me, I'm going to be. See? No, that's not the long-suffering God's looking for. That is, we do not make a decision to be long-suffering, or patient, and then discipline ourselves to be patient. This is not what God is looking for. He is looking for long-suffering that is from His Holy Spirit, whom He has graciously supplied, Galatians 3:5. Every believer in Jesus Christ, the only long-suffering that pleases God, comes to us as a fruit of the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:22. But, in contrast with what comes from the flesh, the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, spiritual love, joy, inner joy, peace, patience, macrothumia, or long-suffering, and then kindness, same Greek word translated gentleness, Colossians 3:12, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, this is the same word translated in 3:12. Colossians 3:12. The point is that each of these virtues listed in Colossians 3:12 are given to the believer by the Holy Spirit and never from the discipline of the flesh nature. That's the way most people think about it. I'm going to work on my patience today. I'm going to be patient today. Can't even get out of the driveway without losing it. See? I've heard cases, I don't know, where churches would have them put a sticker on their hand for this week. This week we're on the fruit of the Spirit. This week we're going to work on this. And so they put a sticker on there. And people end up tearing the sticker off. First day, some of them. Probably would have been the first hour. See? You don't do this by the flesh. It has to be by faith in the Holy Spirit. All right. So, then he says in 5:23, gentleness, self-control, against such things, there is no law. Point six, macrothumia is the first impact of spiritual love mentioned by Paul in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love, spiritual love, is long-suffering. Point 13 of our introduction on the definition of this word is repeated here because it is so very important. This word, macrothumia, is patience in respect to persons, while the Greek word hupomone is endurance or putting up with things or circumstances. Don't get them confused. The Holy Spirit will supply us with taking care of things in the kitchen, in the home, in traveling, in life, circumstances, change of schedules, all these kinds of things that come up to us in life. But He's also given us an entirely different spiritual gift to handle people, our relationship with people. God understands we're going to have to relate to people. He understands we all have a sin nature. So therefore, He has provided us with the Holy Spirit. Think about it. How many murders, attacks, assaults, all these things that go on in society and history, because people just lose it. They just lose it. They become angry. Most of the times, the husband of a wife, so he kills her. There are times when the woman kills the man. And most women would say he deserved it. I don't know about that, but that's the way it looks. But the point is, people are a pain. They're just a pain. Let's face it, I'm a pain to myself. See? I'm a pain. There it is. I don't like me. Every now and then I say to Judy, why in the world did you marry me? I hate it when she says, I don't know. But, you know, but that's the point. I'm a pain. We have to be honest about this. And God knows it. So He gave to us the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit gives us the fruit to be able to handle and deal with circumstances, with people. So it stands to reason that this would be one of the impacts of spiritual love. In fact, it is this first impact mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Let everyone know we will be studying this impact of spiritual love in detail in our early Sunday morning service where we're studying 1 Corinthians 13. This morning, if I give all but do not have love, it profits me nothing. And that's where we learn Christianity doesn't, God doesn't care about the receiver. It isn't about do you give to what's needed. It's about you, the giver. And it's the only one. It's very interesting. The Mormon has a temple in Missouri. It's a holy ground, Joseph Smith called it. And in it, he has big puffers. You sit on the internet. And the second rule, and now tithing for you for the first time, to the Mormon Church, Church of the Latter-day Saints. Tithing. Got to get that money. A lot of preachers don't, they don't trust God. You've got to make them tithe so they'll give money. I imagine that's one reason I don't have a building. I'm not a fundraiser. I just have not been, can't be. But what I want you to understand is that the Bible makes it very clear it's not about those you give to. And I know that's what motivates us. I'm motivated. Just recently went to Whataburger. Guy sitting over there on the grass. I walked over. I had to. Gave him some money. First of all, asked him if he's a believer in Christ. Oh, yeah. I've never met a beggar that wasn't a believer. Made me kind of wonder if he had to be a believer in Christ to be a beggar or a beggar to believe in Christ. But it's just we see people in need. And we're motivated to give. That's not God's view. Are you in condition? Are you in the proper way to give? That's what God is looking at. He's not looking at the one you're receiving. Look at the giver. Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you giving in spiritual love? If not, you may help that person, but it's of no benefit to you whatsoever. And people, don't let anyone kid you. We want spiritual profit. You'll want it at the judgment seat of Christ. You'll want it. So make sure that all giving in a church, in an offering plate, giving to someone in life, giving to your children, giving. You know, if people give for all kinds of reasons, a lot of people give to control. Men learn that a lot. Learn that young. If I give, I'll get what I want out of this woman. A lot of women learn, if I give, I'll get what I want. Giving is one of the best tests, one of the greatest tests in life. Why do you give? What is your motivation? If it isn't spiritual love by the Holy Spirit, it's fruitless. Doesn't mean anything. So let's continue here. See? But just to note some of the highlights of this study, the impact of spiritual love is designed to protect you. Spiritual love is designed to protect you. That is your spiritual love toward another believer, be it your husband, your wife, family member, those in the local church, where you work, social life, causes you to be long-suffering toward them. This long-suffering means that you do not lash out at them. That's what long-suffering means. You hold back, not lash out. God held back, not came forth with His wrath. Long-suffering protects you from lashing out. It protects you. You do not lash out at them. You do not seek revenge or make them pay for hurting you, or you think they hurt you. This is the powerful impact of macrothumia. It keeps you from getting out of the filling of the Spirit. Keeps you in fellowship with Christ. Then, when you are hurt by another and do not react in anger or jealousy or revenge, being long-suffering allows you to treat them in the second impact of spiritual love. Spiritual love is kind. Because you are withholding your anger, you're able to give them kindness. They don't deserve kindness, do they? No! They've done wrong! But that's what they get because of long suffering. You're able to treat them in kindness. And your kindness allows them the freedom to remain or get back into the filling of the Spirit themselves. It's a beautiful plan God has here. Long suffering protects you, your kindness protects them. With the wonderful result that both of you are in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ, and now with one another. And all we've covered is two things of spiritual love. It's unbelievable how this works in a marriage, in a family, in a local church. You're in unity by being in long-suffering and kindness. Everyone's filled with the Spirit and in fellowship with the Lord and with each other. Therefore, you both glorify Jesus Christ together. People, to me, that's a wonderful thing for a husband and wife. To glorify Christ together. A local church, to glorify Christ together. Supporting missionaries, young people, internet, different things that the church does. Do it in together. See? Most people would say they desire their husband or wife to love them. But think about it. Isn't it even more wonderful in your marriage that they love as Jesus Christ loves? This is always a love that you can respond to. Think about it. One of the worst things that came along years ago, they say that they came along as promise keepers. And to me, that was just so pitiful. Just pitiful. I want to be the husband my wife wants me to be. No. She changes hourly, daily, monthly. You want to be the husband the Lord wants you to be. I want to be the wife my husband wants. Don't ever think that. Men are fickle as they can be. You want to be the wife the Lord wants you to be. And you will satisfy Him, and you will satisfy each other in your relationship. Having said this, please remember that this does not mean they will always respond in a positive way to your long-suffering. And therefore, your spiritual love must be even longer long-suffering. I meant that to be humorous, but anyway. But people are not always going to respond. In the church, in marriage, in family. So now you're long-suffering. That's why I read to you about God. He took care of them. They didn't respond. He kept taking care of them. He was long, long-suffering. See? So how long is your suffering going to suffer? Spiritual love is not whatever you want it to be and what you want it to be like. Spiritual love is a person. Spiritual love is the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is not whatever you want it to be. Poets, philosophers, lexicographers, theologians have all tried to define this word love. Most of them fail because the only love that really matters is a person. The person of Jesus Christ. If you want to really understand love, don't spend your time reading definitions and descriptions. Study the person of Christ in the Bible. Then, and only then, will you begin to grasp what love is and what love should be. We have already noted that Jesus Christ is long-suffering in His love. We should each one give thanks for this impact of Christ's love. For every one of us will need the long-suffering of Christ's love toward us throughout our lives. Don't ever be arrogant and to think you don't. We all do. A few of us need it daily. See? And therefore, we should be long-suffering in our love toward one another. Another description of long-suffering of spiritual love is found in Ephesians 4:2. With all gentleness, we study this. With all humility, we study this. All gentleness, we study this. With patience. Okay, that's our long-suffering. Showing tolerance. This Greek word means to hold up under stress. I hope you can see what is being said here. Someone has hurt you. Let you down in some way. And people, this can be intimate. Husband, wife, children, parents, friends, work, social, church. Before they did this, they were in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You were in fellowship. Now they have come along and hurt you. Let you down. So what are you going to do? Get out of the filling of the Spirit and react? Or stand in control of the Holy Spirit, hold up under long-suffering, macrothumia. You restrain or hold back any sinful reaction from your flesh nature. And by the way, any reaction from your flesh nature is not pleasing to God. Mental attitude sins, anger, jealousy, revenge, arrogance. You want to be in control. Sins of the tongue, lashing out at them, maligning them, cursing them, lying to them. Overt sins, physically attacking, murder, do them physical harm, that type of thing. So, in restraint, or holding back from getting out of the filling of the Holy Spirit, you remain in your spiritual position in the Holy Spirit. Now, let me apply what we studied this morning in 1 Corinthians 13:3, with what we're studying here. If I give all, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. If I restrain and do not come out against you, if I hold back, if I'm patient, if I put up with it and all these things, but do not have love, it profiteth nothing. It's the same principle. Your patience without spiritual love, your patience outside of the Holy Spirit, is of no value before God. It certainly helps the other person. You don't hit them. But as far as you're concerned, no value whatsoever. No value whatsoever. So in restraint or holding back from getting out of the Holy Spirit, you remain in your spiritual position in the Holy Spirit. This is where your free will enters the conflict. You do not make a decision to be long-suffering. No. You make a direct decision to remain in faith in the Holy Spirit. Then He, the Holy Spirit, will cause you to be long-suffering in your spiritual love. You see, being able to do this consistently is what Christian maturity is about. Not just once in a while. But as we grow in the Word, we grow in the knowledge of Christ, we grow in staying in the Spirit, it starts characterizing your life. Now, I know some of you thought maturity was defined by knowledge of God's Word, amount of Bible doctrine in your soul. It's certainly a part of maturity. But people, Christian maturity involves the application of all the doctrines in your soul. So that as we grow in the knowledge of God, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness, accompanied with long-suffering, holding back for one another of the same kind. That is another believer in Jesus Christ. That's your husband, wife, friends, church, work, wherever you are. Point 7. Many who study the Bible have trouble understanding the difference between the wrath of God and divine discipline. Because God is long-suffering does not mean there will not be divine discipline against the believer. What we should appreciate about the relationship of long-suffering and divine discipline is the very existence of divine discipline reveals the manifestation of His long-suffering. In plain words, the fact you're alive is His long-suffering. The fact you're under divine discipline is proof. He didn't just simply take you out. When we're going to see Wednesday night, Ananias and Sapphira, boom, right there, boom, they're gone. God could do that with all of us. Anytime He wants, when we sin, I'm taking you out, you're gone. But you know what? I think I'll just discipline this person. The amount of discipline, the severity, or the whatever it is, the kind, is totally individual. There's no makeup for it. With some people, just a little jerk on the chain. Just a little. I know a little girl, her father looks at her angry and she falls apart crying. The son, how dare you look at me like that? See? Two entirely different ways. One, all he has to do is look. I remember my grandfather. Boy, he was stern. All that old man had to do was clear his throat. And I mean, all of us. Well, what am I doing wrong? What happened? Did a woman just enter the room and I didn't stand up? Well, you know, I'm not doing anything wrong, so what happened? So we start looking. All he did was clear his throat. See? Other times, on the back porch, on the door, going out, was a hook. And on that hook was a razor strap. And I mean he used it. On the backside. So, the severity. Clearing of his throat? Oh, you didn't get that? Come with me. I got some better ways to get through your head. And he used a razor strap. And that worked too. See? Oh, it really did. I remember one time, it was Saturday morning. I was headed to go down. I don't know how many of you even know what a bio is in the city. But I was going to go down to the bio. And I saw that razor strap. I said, I'm going to get whipping for this. Now, is it worth it? Yes, because I can be gone nearly all day. And I'm going to get it, but I thought, is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. Now, if I only had an hour, forget it. It ain't worth it. See? So, God works on discipline with us. So, the very fact He uses discipline, thank Him. He didn't take you out. You're still here. See? And thank Him for it. Thank Him for His long suffering. Yes.
So did you end up getting whipped
out? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got it. Hold on, me. Big time. Oh. I got stories on that one, but we got to get on with the Word of God here. Okay. This is why it's always wise, revealing of wisdom, to respond to divine discipline. Learn from it. Move on in life of faith. Remember, we continue to be His, even though we have sinned. Therefore, we should respond by going immediately back to faith in the Holy Spirit. See? Learn from His love, His long-suffering. 8. Why is it called long-suffering? Because this fruit of the Holy Spirit is required when things get really difficult in life of a believer, when he or she is having tribulation with others, believers or even unbelievers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, our word is featured in verse 6, but we must understand the context. Okay? 2 Corinthians 6:4 begins the context. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. Okay. We begin the circumstance that will demand our being long-suffering, a servant of God. In much endurance, in afflictions, in hardship, in distress. Okay, people. America has been a nation under glass. Unique in all of church history for 2,000 years. But we're now getting back the way the normal flow is, where Christians suffer. We're so upset because it's not been this way in American history. But don't show your ignorance of history and say it's never been like this. It's been a lot worse. A lot worse. We're just catching up with history now. If you're going to make a decision for Christ, remember, they hate me before they hated you. They persecuted me, persecute you. Okay, verse 5. In beatings, in imprisonments. I love to read church history every morning. Just today, in 368, a man was beaten and then executed because he didn't believe in transubstantiation. So the Roman Catholic Church did him in. And every day, at some point in history, somebody is martyred, killed, burned, beaten because of their faith. It's going to happen. Our history is filled with it. In imprisonments. You'd be surprised the number of people that have been kept in the Tower of London for a long time because of their faith. In turmoils. In labors. In sleeplessness. In hunger. Now people, let me just point out to you, I will always be with you. That does not mean you will not die of hunger. If that's how God chooses you to die, that's how we're going to die. And that's His faithfulness. People get this idea that means I'll never suffer. Oh, don't get that idea. The world will make sure He suffers. You will not suffer any way that He will not permit. That's why we can trust Him. So just look at the things. Beatings, imprisonment, in turmoils, in labors, sleeplessness, in hunger. Now, don't use 2 Corinthians 6 as a witness to somebody to believe in Christ. It's not going to work. They're not going to believe in Christ if they see all this is coming. See? So just leave this out for them. Make this the fine print. Tell them about this later. Okay. I thought that was funny. Anyway. All right. Verse 6. In purity, in knowledge, in long suffering. Pay close attention to all that is going on, which we are to be long-suffering. In kindness, in the Holy Spirit. This can only be accomplished in the power of the Holy Spirit, where it has any glory to Jesus Christ. In genuine love, that's spiritual love. In the Word of Truth, the Bible. In the power of God, the Holy Spirit. By the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report, by good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true, as unknown in the world, yet well known by God and Jesus Christ, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, because in Christ we live, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. How can it all, see that word always? That's the long suffering. That's the long suffering. As poor, yet making many rich. When I was reading this, I thought so much about what's the torture for Christ, Wimbrandt? Yeah. It was amazing. The guard could not stand him, if you saw the movie. Beat him and beat him. And he came in and looked in the mirror. And there was Wimbrandt on his knees praying. He opened the door. What are you praying for? I'm praying for your soul. And that man just turned around and walked away. Didn't even beat him that time. Turned around and walked away. How could you pray for my soul when I'm beating you? When I beat your feet where you can't even walk on them. And you still pray for me. That's long suffering. Okay. As having nothing of worldly value, yet possessing all things spiritually and eternally. So you can see that macrothumia, long suffering, is vital in the angelic conflict. Another passage on the environment where long suffering is needed is found in James 5:9. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door, Jesus Christ. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, long suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Again, imitate their long suffering. Question. Why should we desire long suffering in our lives, in our relationship with one another? Why should I even desire this? One, first of all, because God commands it of us to be long-suffering. That should be enough said. I don't know about you, but one of the strongest admonitions I ever received from my mother, because I said so. I learned, that was it. That was enough, right there. You got it. I'm out of here. I'll do it. I won't do it. Whatever. God said it. I'm out of here. That's it. But I'll give you some more. Two, to help maintain peace and unity in a marriage, a home, a church, every area of your life. Ephesians 4:2, with all humility and gentleness and patience or long-suffering, showing tolerance for one another in love. Three, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Many husbands know that they are the head of the marriage, but few understand all that being the head involves. Here it is the first and primary responsibility of the husband to be diligent to preserve the unity of spirit in the bond of peace. That is, it is his responsibility to show forth spiritual love to which his wife may respond. But having said this, it certainly is up to the wife to be diligent if even the husband is not in her long suffering. And certainly it is the responsibility of all believers to be diligent in long-suffering, wherever they are, home, work, local church, social life. Fourth reason, macrothumia is directly related to the believer receiving rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Here it is, people. Rapture, the very next thing, you're going to stand before Christ. Hebrews 6:12, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and long suffering inherit the promises. Paul is speaking to believers in the church age in our passage in Colossians, but he exhorts us to imitate believers in the age of Israel, namely Abraham, who inherited the promises by faith and long suffering in life. As we relate this to believers in the church age, we have promises of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. To receive these rewards, we must imitate Old Testament heroes who lived by faith and were long-suffering toward others in that faith. Hebrews chapter 11, the great Hebrews chapter. Therefore, our lives on earth, we must develop a life of faith encouraged by long suffering in our dealings with one another, with hope, confidence of receiving rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. We come together in prayer, Father. We pray that you will help Catherine and her sister to get to Greece safely with no problems, physically and emotionally safely at home. Pray that you'll bring Chris and the son home safely tonight. Father, we have lots of prayers for those in this assembly. We put them before you. And Heavenly Father, our biggest prayer, that your Spirit will cause each one of us to be long-suffering. That as we walk by faith, we can actually see Him pour in long-suffering into us. This is not the way I used to would have acted, but in trusting Him, I'm acting differently. And we praise you, God, for making this part of our lives, because it makes us look good in the world, but we're not kidding ourselves. It's the power of your Spirit. It's the imitation of Christ. And Father, we praise you for these. In Christ's holy name, amen.